Well, Computer Report readers and listeners.
I'm just trying a different voice. I'm trying to do anything to change things up around here.
That's kind of like a Middle Eastern German, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you used to do radio, right?
No, never me.
Okay, just
yeah, I did.
Did you have different voices?
Poorly. I wasn't. This wasn't like 1950s radio.
Oh, okay.
I also didn't have a horn going, onk, onk, and, you know, tookie tookie birds, any of that stuff.
Maybe that's why you're not doing it anymore.
Well, maybe so. You're right. You were listening to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema. We are just trying to do anything we can to change the bad juju going around this building right now, guys.
The vibe is bad around here. Yeah. It's as bad as I've seen it. And the damage...
I'm not going to say it's quite 2011 yet.
No.
Not quite.
No, not quite. But the thing is, though,
Was that Raheem's last year?
That was Raheem's last year. But and even during the 0-8 start from Shiano, there were some signs a little bit. I mean, this
almost
team,
going to Seattle and beating the Seahawks.
Yeah, getting up 21, I think, on the Seahawks. Yeah. I mean, they actually played some more competent football. Yeah. Right now, you're looking at 2-6, and I don't know if they're going to win another game. And there's 8 games left in the season.
There's no way they're going to go 0-8.
Really? Who are you betting on? Who are you going to mybookie.ag and putting money on this team going to win?
Somebody,
I was going to say the Dolphins. I don't even say the Dolphins
somebody
anymore.
Somebody asked me that at halftime in the game. They're like, are the Bucs going to win another game this year? And I said yes, because I just can't see a team dropping
what
eight
game?
In
Look
a row.
At the schedule and tell me what game.
I don't know what game it's going to be. All I know is that the NFL is so wacky. I just don't see them winning more than maybe probably one, but I just can't see them going 0-8.
Okay, so big difference.
Trevor's predicting the
1-7
finish.
Yeah, I guess.
For the Bucs.
I said they'd finish 4-12.
I'm not picking them again in my previews and predictions until they win. So.
And even then, I'm probably not picking them.
Yeah.
I mean, again, literally the only game I'm looking at on the schedule look, they could beat the Jets. It is Josh McCown coming to town.
It's possible, but even in my prediction in the 2-point conversion on PewterReport.com, I said that Josh McCown's going to come in here and smack the Bucks around. And I believe that. He's going to have a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown.
But he's also going to throw two interceptions and one in the red zone. And he's going to fumble
a
snap and pick it up and try and throw the ball and lateral it to nobody. I mean, he's going to do a Josh McCown. He always does. Just like against Miami a couple weeks ago. Did you see that game?
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw that.
That was a Josh McCown moment.
But he's going to be really laser-focused coming into Ray J. This is a revenge game for him. And really what this is a battle of the Jets quarterbacks. It's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, the former Jets quarterback and current Buccaneer backup.
By the way, who looked no better than Jameis Winston yesterday?
Oh, I beg to differ.
I don't think so.
He found a wide open Luke Stocker for a touchdown.
Well, you would have found a wide open Luke Stocker on that play.
I probably wouldn't. And if you've seen me throw a football, it's not pretty.
Yeah, that's true. You tend to throw it underhand.
Well, I'd throw it overhand, but it's more like a grenade lob than it is a spiral.
I had a free throw contest with him one time. He did granny shots.
Is that true?
And I won.
Is that true?
Yeah, he did. He hit 9 out of 10.
I hit 9 out of 10. Yeah. Wow.
And banked them all.
Wow.
Here's the problem as I see it with this offense. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, keep in mind, he's coming in when the team is down, and he's playing probably a different style of defense, a little bit more prevent, not as much blitzing and whatnot, although the same.
Plus, they feel sorry for him because he's an old man.
He didn't look old anymore. He shaved his beard. He looks like a young, spry,
32-year-old. I was going to say, I don't believe that. I don't
32-year-old.
Are we even sure that that's Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. He ran like Ryan Fitzpatrick, kind of like that. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah. Like, zoom, I'm going to run up the field for
And then he got up and ran again. At first, I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Did he have a concussion?
He did, too. He ran into the end zone and just put the ball down.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't even give it back to the ref. He's like, no, I'm going to make
the
you
interesting
pick it up.
Thing about that is, now, supposedly, when you slide, you give yourself up. Mm-hmm. But if a quarterback dives, and that's what he did, he dove.
If you go head first, you're not giving yourself up.
Exactly. No, you are in the NFL by interpretation of the rules. If there's no one around you and you just fall forward like that, you're giving yourself up.
If you're the quarterback?
Yes, if you're the quarterback.
I don't know. Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. I'm going to side with him. If he got up and ran, I'm going to say it's legal.
Then why didn't he throw the challenge flag?
Why doesn't Dirk Cutter do a lot of things, Mark?
there's
a brawl breaking out in front of his sideline, and he's like walking down the sidelines. What's that over there?
Fake news. You know? He said after the game he didn't see it.
I know. He's looking right at it. He
no
didn't know
way.
What, yes, he did. Yeah.
He said that?
He said he didn't. He said he was looking to his left and didn't see what started it.
Right.
The problem is he was looking to his right. The brawl was to his left, and he turned around and saw the melee. And did absolutely nothing. He didn't come over and try to break it up.
That was his excuse?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Listen. Yeah.
Now, the reason why Trevor doesn't know that is because Trevor was in the locker room.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
In New Orleans. Mark and I were watching
the player press conference. Stuff.
By the way, props to Trevor. Now, Trevor went to New Orleans,
I drove.
Got up this morning like at 1 a.m. to drive here to be here.
And why?
For this podcast.
Why?
For you, listeners.
For the Pewter Nation podcast.
That's right.
That's why.
Now, if I had done this, I would have had to have actually left New Orleans last Friday before the game to get back.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those old guys. Like, I stop. This has nothing to do with football. Uncle Stan's going to be really pissed. But a couple years ago, Jameis Winston, Will Muschamp's last game, me and my son went up there.
I don't recall.
Noon game.
I don't recall.
It doesn't matter. They won. But I, 37-7. And I literally, it's what, a 2.5-3 hour drive from Gainesville?
Right.
I was so tired, I stopped in Wildwood and got a hotel room. That's how old and tired and lazy
I am.
There's
nothing wrong with that. And you see, I'm going to be pissed. I mean, I got to stop every 30 minutes to piss. So I understand it
literally
takes a long time to get places.
Well, that's true.
When you're old.
That was also the day that Paul Walker met his fate. He was too fast and too furious that day.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Same day.
Wow.
And that was
it's
also
a good
the
thing you pulled over and stopped for the night.
Yes, I could have been Mark Cook and Paul Walker.
That Paul Walker did.
Exactly. All right.
Getting,
anyway.
Getting back to my point, in four quarters of action, Ryan Fitzpatrick has produced 40 points. In 12 quarters of action, the last 12 quarters of action, Jameis Winston has produced 36. So at this point in time, an injured Jameis Winston statistically is no better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I wrote this on my two-point conversion, if I'm the Glaziers, this is not even a Dirk Cutter call. This is not a Jameis Winston call, a Jason Light call, or a medical staff call. This is the ownership saying, you are our franchise quarterback. You are the face of the franchise. You are our future as well as our present. But this present doesn't look very good at 2-6. And it's not going to look any better down the stretch. You're not going to get that shoulder healed this season. It's going to be a continuance of playing a couple quarters and then getting hit and coming out.
As long as Donovan Smith's in the game, but go ahead.
And I shut him down because that's what's best for him and the long-term interests of this franchise. If you go back and look at what happened with the first-round draft pick up in Detroit, Matthew Stafford, he spent the first two seasons dealing with shoulder problems because the Detroit offensive line was god-awful, and he missed 13 games in his first 2 years. And it took him, you know, several years to kind of become Matthew Stafford, somebody who's, slinging the ball around and getting, you know, the high prolific passing yards and touchdowns, et cetera, because his first 2 years he was in and out of the lineup. So why risk Jameis Winston? And what I put in the column, and I'll end this point with this, is this team's going to have a new head coach next year with a new offensive system. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that. Why would you risk having Jameis Winston going over the installs, the new offensive installs and OTAs and the mini camps with his shoulder in a sling if this guy's shoulder gets worse and he has to have shoulder surgery that keeps him out till training camp? That's
Look,
not going to help the Buccaneers
no big deal.
At all.
The lookout worked out for Noah Spence. It's fine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was able to come back this year.
Yes, with no problems.
And he got a sack force fumble the first game back.
And look at and he's leading the team. Actually, he's tied for second. Of defensive ends right now are tied for third with and he hasn't played.
Well, no, he's on injured reserve, and he did have shoulder surgery, and apparently they actually went in and fixed it like they should have fixed it last time. The last surgery was not good.
You thinking he probably pulled a who's the Miami quarterback that decided not to get
Tannehill?
ACL fixed right?
We
don't do holistic healing. No, I know Noah went in for serious surgery.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so maybe it was just bad luck. Maybe it was 100%. Who knows? But
I'm just saying that right now the stars are aligning. You have Ryan Griffin back. You have to make a decision on whether to keep him on injured reserve or activate him this week. And this is the week that Jameis Winston needs to be put on injured reserve for the better part of the team. And if anything, with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Griffin, you're going to get a good look at both of those guys because I think both will play this year and see, because we haven't seen Ryan Griffin perform at all in any regular season game, see what the backup option is next year to Jameis Winston. Is it Fitzpatrick? Is it Griffin? That's a decision that has to be made. It was supposed to be made in training camp, and Griffin's shoulder got injured, and we saw how long it took him to come back. So I don't think it's wise to keep putting Jameis Winston out there in getting him susceptible to those hits.
Man. Bit of foreshadowing from earlier this year in Hard Knocks. Jameis Winston on the sideline reprimanding guys for not blocking, and Ryan Griffin gets his shoulder hurt.
Yeah.
And then later, Jameis Winston gets his shoulder
dun,
hurt.
Dun, dun.
Uh-huh. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You guys think what you want. 9/11 was an inside job, and there were at least two shooters on the grassy knoll. I'm just saying. remember that.
You jumped the shark there.
Oh, well, I tried. All right, so we've determined this is a really bad football team. Is that true, though? This team is playing really bad.
It's playing really bad.
Is this a bad, talented football team?
No, I think there's enough talent to win. If you look at...
Talent doesn't mean anything without coaching.
By the way, I'm still sticking with my 12-4. Go ahead.
Yeah, you might want to turn that upside down. You might want to live in the upside
down. You
might
have had the right numbers.
Stranger Things, yeah.
Well,
it might be 4-12. No, but I think that when you look... And I can't remember the guy's name on Twitter. It was a Bucs fan who really made a good point. He said, why is it the Buccaneers added better pieces to the team this year and got worse while the Bills and the Jets got rid of really good players and got better? And I think, Trevor, you just said it. It's coaching. I think that...
It's literally nothing but coaching.
That... And you can look at the pieces with the Los Angeles Rams, the Rams that put up 51 points yesterday on the Giants, or even the 51 points that the Eagles put up against the Denver Broncos. And you can go guy by guy, Mike Evans versus Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans versus Nelson Aguilar or, you know, Brandon Marshall, and play that game, and you'll see that the Buccaneers are the paper tigers. I mean, they have the better team on paper. They're just not living up to their potential.
Can I tell you where the problem is, though, more than anything? There's two things. Well, God, what am I saying? There's about 15 things. Both those teams you've mentioned are playing better on the offensive line, and they're running the freaking football.
Yep.
This team, I don't care. I don't care what anybody says about Jameis Winston, this and that, and inaccurate and things like that. He's not in the best position to succeed if they can't run the football. You pointed that out in a Fab Five going back to his college days.
Yep.
2013, 2014. Regressed a little bit in 2014. Didn't have quite the running game that he had the year before at Florida State.
He had it in 2015 with Doug Martin, 1,400 yards.
And you know, Jameis Winston is no quarterback's going to be very successful if the team is one-dimensional. And this football team cannot run the football, and they're not very good in pass protection.
No,
they're just not.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I was just on the radio with 620 earlier on Monday, and JP said, you know, he thinks they should go back to Holly, put Marpet back at guard, kick Pamphlet over to left tackle.
Yeah.
Or flip-flop. I like the idea of throwing Dotson over on the left side for the last eight games. Maybe if in fact, Donovan Smith is hurt, I don't know if that's an accurate thing. We'll find out. Did you see him in the locker room afterwards?
He had a pretty bad limp.
Okay. All right, so maybe it's hurt.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then if he comes back, you throw him over maybe on the right side. But it's not going to be any worse. They're not having any success running the football.
Yeah.
And their pass protection is just not very good. You know, the Saints didn't do anything up front that they haven't shown all year.
Right.
And this team just, I mean, again, if Donovan Smith is getting his ass kicked by Cameron Jordan play after play.
Well, he was.
Why in the hell is Luke Stocker not over there chipping?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why do they leave these guys?
At the very least, put Charles Sims on that side,
right,
and say, you're
going to
be helping out Donovan Smith.
Right.
I know.
You know, I don't understand that. And also, they continue to you know, on third and threes, third and fours, try and force the ball 15 yards down the field instead of just picking up the first down.
That was one of the maddening things when, I think it was in the first quarter, as a matter of fact, when the Buccaneers punted from the Saints side of the ball.
Three times in the first half, they had the ball on the Saints' other side,
yeah,
in the Saints'
it
territory.
Was third and four, and Winston throws the ball 20 yards down the field.
Right.
Cover three never lies.
Yeah. And it's like, you need 5 yards. You need 5 yards, and you get a first down.
Right.
And if you pick up 5 yards, you're almost in field goal range.
Right.
You know, but the 20-yard shot on third and four, you know, I don't get that. Just like how when Doug Martin ran for 8 yards on the first two carries, mm-hmm, to set up third and two, and, you know, he's averaging on those two carries 4 yards a pop. I don't know if it was 5 and 3 or 6 and 2, whatever it was. But it's third and two.
Yeah.
And so why not go four wide, put Charles Sims back there, and throw the ball on third and two? It just doesn't make any sense.
For the first time yesterday, I saw Dirk do something that he hasn't done all year, and that's when he had
Peyton Barber come in.
He brought Cameron Brait also in the backfield to convert on a third down. I was like, holy shit. Excuse my language. We might have to cut that out. But I was like, holy crap. He's doing something different. He's adjusting.
Yeah.
And he never went back to that on third and short.
And I like the fact that he went to Peyton Barber.
Yes.
Because Peyton Barber, he's not as talented as Doug Martin, but he certainly does a better job following his blocks. And sometimes...
He just runs forward.
Yes, he goes north and south. That's what I wrote about. I mean, yes, he averaged 3.8 yards a carry or whatever it was, but he didn't average minus 0.2 or whatever it was that Doug Martin had on his 8 carries for 7 yards.
Sometimes when the hole's not there, you just got to... Just stick your nose in the pile and push.
I've joked about this, Scott. You coach youth football. I coach youth and high school football. These kids all want to go 80 yards on every play.
Yeah.
Get me 4, don't lose me 2.
That's right.
Get me 2, don't lose me 6. I don't care. Yeah. Get me 1 if you have to. And don't lose a yard.
I saw this particular play, and fans were blowing up Twitter on the play. I think it was Cameron Jordan tackled, or maybe it was Okafor, tackled Doug Martin in the backfield for like a 2 or 3 yard loss. And they said, Donovan Smith completely missed the block. No, that was a zone block where they're all going to the right. It's a zone play. And you have that guy unblocked. You have the weak side defensive end unblocked.
You entice him in, you get past him.
Because the goal is to have the running back hit the hole and be through the hole by the time that defensive end gets there. To where the only way he can get there is if he goes behind him through the hole and tackles him from behind.
Right.
The problem was that there wasn't much of a hole there, and Doug doesn't trust that, and so he decided to try to cut back. You can cut back to the middle, but you can't cut back to the left right into the weak side pursuing defensive end, and that's what happened. And I saw that at least twice, and I'm sure Dirk Cutter saw it, or Tim Spencer saw it, and said, hey, like... You're costing us yards here with the dancing and not following the blocks.
Just take what the defense gives you. Doug is a good running back. I don't. But for whatever reason, you're right. He's not trusting the scheme. He's not trusting his blocking up front, and he's trying to make a 50-yard run.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't trust anything on his team.
I wouldn't either. But the thing is, when you freelance and you don't follow your blocks,
you get on the bench. Right. But I mean, they're in a really weird situation right now because I don't know if you guys have thoughts on this, but a lot of the fans keep using the words like the team quit, like they're giving up, and I have a really hard time questioning people's effort when I'm not on the field.
Agreed.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a player. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not at practice. I'm not on the field. Like, I don't know. So you can obviously see, hey, you know, these guys aren't playing up to their talent. They're better than this.
Right.
So a lot of people just go, oh, they quit. They're quitters. Yeah. They're just quitting on their team.
There's no effort on this team, that kind of stuff. There's no heart.
Like, I'm careful with how I question effort, but I don't think the players on this team respect the coaches.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think they believe that the coaches have put them in a situation like you can say whatever you want on the record when the cameras are in front of their face. Well, the coaches are just, you know, they're just putting us in the best place, you know, to get a win. That's bull crap.
Coaches call the plays. We just run.
We know it is. Yeah. So yeah. I think that it's not as much like a lack of effort as in like they don't want to.
It's
play
a lack
for their
of confidence.
I think yeah.
It's a lack of confidence.
I think that there are certain defensive and offensive plays that come in through the play call and they just roll their eyes.
Yep, you're exactly right.
Hold on
1 second. He's exactly right. And when people see Alvin Kamara make 5 or 6 guys miss in the half-hearted tackling attempts, and people say that's lack of effort, that's lack of heart. No, it's not. It's just a lack of confidence in doing what you don't believe in, and it's frustration.
Because you can't. You can look at players who aren't playing well, and there are team leaders that could come up and be like, "Yo, like get it together, like let's do this, like something." You can snap a player out of it, but like if the players don't believe in the guys that are giving them the calls, they can't. Like there's no you can't. What?
Drop the mic.
What?
Go ahead.
Why did you do that?
I was just doing what James did.
Why did you use Marshawn Lattimore?
That's exactly what I was doing. I thought Scott was going to blindside me for doing
Trevor just got poked in the head.
Okay. I just got Marshawn Lattimore. Or James, whatever it is. But like, you can't rebel against play calling and coaching.
But it's happening. It's happening.
No, but I'm saying
we've seen it.
Like,
I don't think they're consciously deciding
that they're going to rebel. I think they just they see no light at the
that's
end
right.
of the tunnel.
That's what I mean.
It's a lack of confidence.
Not like rebelling as in, hey, we're going to do something different ourselves, because you can't. In the span of you're getting the call in the headset to we've got to call the play to the ball getting snapped, you can't, as a defense or an offense, all look at each other and go, we're not doing this play. You all have
exactly.
to do it. That's what you have. That's why I said,
but
you can snap a player out of it. You can't snap
right.
a coach.
It's a collective lack of confidence in the offense and defensive systems right now.
Yes,
because
100%.
Because they're not working.
100%.
And when you lose confidence, and that's in the back of your mind, Trevor, like you said, when you line up the line of scrimmage and you think this play is not going to work, or why are we calling this play in this down and
you've
distance?
You've already failed.
Exactly. You were distracted, and you're not doing your job.
Right.
Your fundamentals go to crap.
That's how football works.
And that's why you miss blocks.
Yep.
That's why you miss tackles. That's why you blow coverages. That's why you drop passes. Those types of things. Because you're not focused on the task at hand.
You're essentially just going through the motions.
That's right.
Just as we are when we're watching the game and we're looking at the clock waiting for it to get down to zero.
Yes.
Because they just don't have hope.
No.
In the success
but
of the system.
But here's the thing. They want to win. And they're out there to win.
Nobody wants to lose.
Yeah, so to me, I don't question the lack of heart.
I don't either.
What I question is...
Nobody wants to be a loser.
Is there? Yes, there's a lack of confidence on this team.
Well,
correct. I
agree with all that. I think we may be taking the player sides a little too much. And
oh, no, they're screwing up.
Adam Gase.
Don't get it twisted.
Did you guys watch the game last night?
Yes.
I did not.
Adam Gase and Al Michaels and Chris talked about what he said after they traded the running back,
Jay Ajayi.
He said, we're going to find the right players. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. We're going to get rid of the guys who don't want to be here, that aren't going to do what we ask them to do, whatever you want to call it. You know, and I don't know how much of that is accurate, because I don't know anything about the Dolphins. And I don't know how much that's accurate here. But we remember Jameis, his rookie year after that Panthers game, Scott. Mm-hmm. We were at the Seminole Hard Rock, and he was in his press conference. And he says, I'm tired. Basically said, I'm tired of losing. There's guys that doesn't bother them to lose.
Yeah.
And there may be some guys on this football team like that. I would love to. Look, if Dirk Cutter wants any opportunity to win back any percentage of the fan base, he cannot stand at that podium in 45 minutes from now and just give that defeated, we're just going to have to go back to work.
Yep.
And I'm
2 weeks
have to coach
I, and I that agree. Was my nail in the coffin. I've told Scott about that.
He needs to pull a Gase. He needs to pull a Ditka. He needs to pull a John McKay. You mm-hmm. know, something.
We've been saying it for a couple weeks now. I think it was it last week, you know, there's got to be a change. That was what we called the podcast. And this goes back to after the Arizona game. You know, people made fun of me saying the ping pong tables and the rap music. You got to do something to get these guys' attention, okay? And,
right.
And to be perfectly frank with you, part of the reason why I said that was to set a trap, because the first players that came up to me were my assistants and said, yo, coach, where's the ping pong tables? Hey, man, where's the music? Those would be the guys I'd be very, very concerned about.
Yeah.
Because if that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth that's top of mind when you walk into the locker room, which is your place of business, or you step foot on the football field, which is your office, and you're worried about that, you're worried about the wrong things.
Again, you know, I don't have a problem with guys playing ping pong, but they have a pretty amazing game room in there with pool tables, Xboxes, players lounge. Put the son of a bitch in there.
Agreed.
Because it interferes with our work.
Right.
It does.
Yeah.
Say what you want. I have waited and missed an interview because TJ Ward is playing ping pong.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Now this is just media bitching.
Wait. I take it back. It was Justin Evans, not TJ Ward. I don't want to get TJ Ward mad at me.
Yeah. Justin Evans is a much better ping pong player.
And he's good. And I like
really
Justin.
Ping pong player.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good ping pong players. Unfortunately, there are guys that are getting better every damn week at ping pong and not getting better at football.
Right.
Wow. That's the quote of the podcast right there. That's 100% true, my friend.
I definitely get the you know, these athletes, they are people, and they have interests, and they have lives outside of football. And don't get me wrong. I definitely get that. And I was like somewhat, you know, when you had said the ping pong and the music thing, like I was kind of like, yeah, I see your point. But I was a little bit skeptical of it. But now kind of like in my head, it's like you have to earn that stuff. And I'm not saying it even in an earn it as in
he's going to be a good dad.
At the
Martin.
Beginning
he's
of the year.
He's going to be a good dad. He's finally getting it.
Depends on what he's going to do with his son's
Please.
Hair.
Yeah, in like 15 years.
Well, it could be longer.
It's not, I hope.
Seen his track record with women. It's going to be a while.
It's not like you start the year 0-0, and then it's like, all right, if we get our fifth win, then we can put the ping pong table in the room. Right. It's not like that. It's like a...
Why? That's what I do with my kid. Like the, show me a good report card, and you're going to have your phone.
Right, but I'm not saying... You can't do that in football, but like if you go from different cultures and teams, like for example, the Patriots, you could do what you want in your free time because the rest of the stuff's regulated because you're a pro organization that's competing for championships. You know right. what it's like.
Yep.
So you can have those kind of things... Where you can like have those freedoms to do what you want.
Yeah.
This team
hasn't earned it yet.
take the 70 whatever that what like the 7 years of the Super Bowl core team, right?
Yeah.
Take those 7 years out. What is this franchise? It's the NFC East version of the Browns.
That's true.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Take NFC those seven South
NFC
version.
South technically. Yeah.
Okay.
No, East.
What did I say?
East.
Oh, so I just meant NFC, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the NFC version of
right.
the Browns. Everybody likes to make fun of Cleveland.
That's not
they're
true, because Cleveland changes better. Coaches all the time.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Oh. You're right. My bad.
Oh.
But Cleveland the doesn't Browns. Draft very well. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
that's point my made. Thought on that.
No, I think you're right. I would agree.
All right.
I think we all drank the Kool-Aid a little too much this preseason.
Not me.
And
I did. I came out and admitted it in the SR's
fact. I had them 4-12.
The SB Nation's Jaguars blog.
12-4.
Yeah, you look.
Hey, take a screen capture that before he goes into the admin.
I don't know what you're talking about. That story's
he's
already
gone. He's going to go into the admin.
It's already disappeared.
And it's going to be flipped to 4-12.
The Jaguars SB Nation blog had a tweet that they tweeted out a couple years ago, and it was when the Jaguars were getting some good players. And then the tweet said, the Jaguars are bad until they're not. And that's just what it was. Like, and he was basically saying, I don't care who they bring in.
Yeah.
I don't care what coach it is.
Yep.
I don't care what you do to that stadium. This team is bad, and this franchise is bad until it's not. That is what we now are forced
have
to adopt.
Prove it. Yes.
Well, they brought in their version of...
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are bad until they're
they
not.
They brought in their version of Greg Schiano and Doug Marrone this year.
Mm-hmm.
Former military guy, Trevor, we saw it in Jacksonville, literally running wind sprints after the game. If you jumped
after
offside,
practice.
Back it up 5 yards.
Like,
yeah.
Like, they're doing an entire practice with the Tampa Bay
right.
Buccaneers.
Right.
And then when the whistle blows, the Bucs are walking off and the Jaguars are
doing
running
wind
sprints.
Across the field, absolutely, running gassers. And now, again, it didn't work out with Greg Schiano that way. But the difference is the Jaguars also brought in an executive in Tom Coughlin,
it's
a guy that's got Super Bowl rings.
Because
it's a lot
that's
easier to
be a
Doug
hard-ass
Marrone.
Of a coach when you're winning, though. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm?
Like, the Bucs don't... Like, the Jaguars have good players. When Greg Schiano was here, the Bucs didn't really have good players, right?
Yeah, correct.
And so, like, they just lost a bunch of games. And so all of a sudden, you know, if you're sitting here at, like, 0-6, 2-7, whatever it is, then you've got a hard-ass of a coach. You're like, I'm so tired of this dude.
Yeah.
We're 2-7. And instead, the Jaguars are the other way around.
But
they're winning a bunch of games, and they go, if we're disciplined and we listen to our coach, we're going to win games.
But if they were 2-6 right now, it would be another Greg Schiano situation.
That's
a gamble you
that's
take.
That's what I'm saying.
But I believe the stability of bringing in a guy like Tom Coughlin can help.
I mean,
could this organization use somebody like that? I jokingly said last night, you know what? Back up the truck. Give Tony Dungy a blank check and an office view. He lives here in Tampa. Could he be a guy that's an executive, not the GM, not the coach? Because Tom Coughlin doesn't make draft decisions. He probably evaluates some film and things like that.
Yes, he does. He rolls that building like an iron fist.
Well, that's true because we could not. This is true. We could not. Literally, we could not walk inside the stadium around to the practice field. They made us go out of the media room all the way to walk around outside. That was the Tom Coughlin rule. This is a true story, too. I was there game day, sitting in the media room. Tom Coughlin walks in to go to the elevator because there's one elevator at the press box. Everybody stood like it was the President of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I stood up, too. I was scared he was going to make me run or something. Afraid he was going to cut me. So, anyway, but does this team need that? Does this team need somebody?
If that's the case, then you get rid of Jason Light. Because, really, that's what's happened in Jacksonville. I mean, Caldwell's been kneecapped. I mean, Tom Coughlin's calling the shots.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, you just become the...
Caldwell's a puppet.
Yes.
What?
Caldwell becomes a puppet.
He's a puppet.
It's
he doesn't do anything. Coughlin runs the team.
Coughlin says, do this. I need you to execute that order for me. And Caldwell does it. That's what it boils down to. So if you're saying put somebody ahead of Jason Light, then why even have Jason Light?
I know what you're saying, though. Like, they need somebody in this building they respect.
Well, that's the thing. You know, somebody was asking me about that. You know, why? Yeah. They won with John Gruden, won the Super Bowl the first year. Mm-hmm. By the end of his tenure, and John admits that he made some mistakes. Remember what he said when he was here for the Ring of Honor thing? The thing that he hated, he never got close to his players. He never brought a guy in and asked him how his family was. He never played golf with these guys. He didn't mean to be buddy-buddy, but he was so consumed with football, he didn't take the time to add the personal touch to that. That was something Tony Dungy did. These guys did not want to let this man down.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't think this team cares if they let Dirk Cutter down or Mike Smith down for whatever reason. They don't respect them.
I agree. I think you're exactly right. Yeah, you mentioned John Gruden. And
there's two things.
You can't argue fear or respect. You can't.
They don't fear anything, and I wonder where the respect level is.
No, there's no arguing the other point. Like, there's no, like, I don't think that they care to lose for Dirk. Their play tells you they don't. You can't argue that.
Right.
Because, like we said, this is a talented team, right?
Yes.
They have football talent.
Yep.
Then they don't care. They don't care about, like, letting their coach down.
At this point in time, I would agree. I really don't believe. And I wrote this last night in the two-point conversion. The players liked Raheem Morris. They liked him up until the very end.
Yeah.
Week after week after week, you know, with 10 losses in a row, they liked Raheem Morris. It was never a question of whether they hated him, because they didn't. They liked him because it was playtime.
Right.
You know, they got to do whatever they wanted. It was as loosey-goose as you could possibly imagine around here at One Buck Place. It's just that they didn't respect him, and they didn't believe that he was a very good coach and that he could get the job done, and that showed. And, you know, we all saw, when you look back at 2010, well, let's see, you were 10-6, but four of those wins came in the fourth quarter against the Rams, the Cardinals, the Browns.
West, a terrible team. I mean, a terrible division that they happened to face that year.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, it was four plays in the fourth quarter that was the difference between 6-10, which is what they were closer to, and 10-6. And they happened to be on the positive side of those plays, and it was smoke and mirrors. And the players, I think, sensed that. And right now, I just don't see a way, unless something drastically changes. And you mentioned fear. And I think at this point in time, especially with these players knowing Dirk Cutter for 3 years on the offensive side of the ball, the guys that have been here, I think if Cutter changes his personality or his demeanor and he tries to be mean or hard, it comes across as fake and phony.
Yeah, disingenuous. Look, you know, I found this out, and again, I'm not trying to compare any high school or youth league coaching to anything that Dirk Cutter does. But I did learn this from my mentor in coaching at high school, who happened to be my football coach when I played, then ended up coaching for him later, is the psychological part of getting a football team ready, of treating a team during the week. All of that is almost as important as the X's and O's.
It is.
Because there's 53 different personalities in that locker room.
Yep.
And that's something that, you know, when we talk about, does a coordinator make a good coach? What's the difference between a coordinator going from a head coach, from being a coordinator to a head coach, and being successful or not successful? A lot of it is as you've pointed out a lot, Scott, in-game management, but also the psychological part of things.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing we're seeing, too, is it's one thing for you to be on the sidelines as an offensive play caller only, as the offensive coordinator, and where your sole focus is on the quarterback and the offensive line and calling the right plays. And you have to make split-second decisions when it comes to adjustments in-game. And I think that having the headset on, where he's got to listen to Mike Smith and he's got to talk with special teams, hey, we just got a punt blocked, what happened there, whose fault was that? And we got to look at the clock and say, do we call a timeout here or do we punt or whatever? I think that really reduces Dirk's ability to make in-game adjustments, especially in the offensive side of the ball. And that's really been a detriment to this team.
Was he a better play caller up in the booth 3 years ago? Yeah.
Well,
I say yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was all he had to do.
Yeah.
He had the best view in the stadium. You know, the sideline, he's admitted.
Well, he was on the sidelines.
I mean, we were beating a broken drum first season. Now.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. I mean, but my whole thing is when, you know, some people are just, they're cut out to be coordinators.
Right.
Some people are just cut out to be position coaches, you know. And I don't.
That's okay.
And that's okay.
It's very okay.
It was fine for this team.
You're a good play caller in the highest level of football.
Yep. It was fine for this team to give Dirk Cutter a shot. It all made sense at the time.
Yes,
it wasn't
did.
The wrong move. It just turned out to be the wrong guy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's not the head coach that can call the plays.
Well, you guys are going to have a different tune when this team finishes 12-4 this year. You'll be apologizing on the final podcast of the year.
Again, he's watching Stranger Things and he's living in the Upside Down. I'm convinced of it. You're not
finished? Did you finish the show?
I'm halfway through season two.
Okay.
Yes, it's really heating up.
I don't even know what
you
got to
finish it this week so we can talk about it.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
It will be
done. Did anybody see the movie It?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Terrible.
I saw It. It was all right.
It was okay. All right.
It was similar to Stranger Things. It really was. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Now, the Buccaneers are going to be hosting the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. And Scott, I'm not putting a penny on the Buccaneers.
Well,
I don't think it's ethical that we bet against the team we cover, though, right? That's probably some journalistic rule we're breaking if we did that.
Well, I mean, if you were to say, I don't go to mybookie.ag hypothetically, and put down, say, $20,
$20,000.
No, just $20.
Well, they do match it.
Yeah,
they do. They
if
do
I
match
put in
it.
$20,000, do I get $40,000?
Yes.
No, there's a limit, and I don't know what that is because you're talking too many thousands, too many zeros at the end of that.
Well, I'm trying to get rich off of this team's not success.
Well, then you would take the Saints.
Should have bet the under on the 8-8 instead of what I did in Vegas when I bet 25-1 they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was $10 down the tubes.
Well, you can take that ticket and use it for kindling.
That's true.
When you want to start a fire.
It wasn't all bad.
I can roll something up in it.
Sure.
Well, I don't know if I should say that I actually bet for New Orleans on mybookie.ag.
But hypothetically, if you did, you probably did well.
Hypothetically, if I did, I would do very well.
Yeah.
Yes. I would be very happy with that particular bet. Not the outcome of the game necessarily,
right,
but the bet, yes. I would be very happy about that. And I did very well on Saturday, college football, too. So I'm having a lot of fun at mybookie.ag. I'm just betting $5 a game here and there.
Right.
Playing chump change.
And it's fun. I mean, I still have got $45 out of my original 100, so I'm doing pretty good.
Wait a second. That's not doing very good.
No,
you're down 65.
I'm halfway through the season.
And you're down $65.
He's just glad he's playing. He's still playing.
Yes, all exactly.
Right. He's not out completely.
Right. And I like my strategies now. So, listen, if you want to have some fun, if you want to win some money, I'm riding the train out.
Take the money in your savings account. Go behind your spouse's back. Get all the money out.
Max out your credit cards.
Whatever
you got to do.
Max out the credit cards. Put it in my bookie.
Yes.
And just lay it all on the line. On one bet. Don't complicate things. Just put
this guy may
all
have a problem.
On
yes.
one bet. Because if you hit it, you don't got to worry about anything. You don't got to listen to this podcast for the rest of your life.
He doesn't have a mortgage, a car payment, or kids, or a wife, does
exactly.
he?
Exactly. He's not worried about college for his kids.
I'll
none
have
of those
double
things.
Of everything you just named.
That's true.
That's a good point.
It's one way or the other. But listen, if you want to double your money, the easiest way to do it is to go to mybookie.ag. And to use the promo code Pewter, they will match your initial deposit, put in 100, boom, you got $200 of which to play with. They've also got not just football, they've got NBA, they've got NHL, they've got even casino betting on there too, where you can do some online gaming.
Slots?
Casino style, yes.
Slots?
I believe
so. Yeah, but
so.
You don't even get to pull the lever, so
that's
where's
true.
The fun?
Wait, no one pulls levers in slot machines anymore. It's a
you
button
just
you
hit the
I
button.
Only play slots that let me pull the lever.
Oh, well.
I want to push buttons and just play Xbox.
There you go. Well, listen, mybookie.ag, they're the sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Be sure you mention pewterreport.com when you sign up. It's free and easy, and they got the quickest, fastest payouts. You will get your money within 48 hours. The money is deposited into my account within hours. So make sure that you open up an account today and use the promo code Pewter to double your initial deposit.
All right, guys, Buccaneers going to try and make it 7-2 record this Sunday against the Jets.
No.
Sunday Night Football, national TV.
What?
No?
No.
1 o'clock in the afternoon going for the third win of the season is what you meant.
Very regional broadcast, too.
Yes, yes.
Like just people in New York and in Tampa are going to see this game.
That's about it.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people in Tampa won't be watching because they're done watching.
Is it on Comedy Central?
They don't have to watch it as
Jets
long
Bucks?
As they come. No, that's a Gator. By the way, I can say that we won this week, finally. But anyway.
Join the club.
Yeah.
You got 5 wins, right? Like
Close.
Kansas State?
Just two more. We'll have it.
Okay. All right. We're 1 win away from a bowl game.
But we play in a real football conference where they play defense.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the Oklahoma State score?
It was a fun game to watch.
Was that the basketball team
it
or was that the football
team
playing
to watch.
In that game? I guess so. That's speaking from the guy who still plays NCAA 12 or whatever it is, because he scores 121-0. Yeah. All right, guys. I don't even know what to say anymore. This season is dragging. We joked about the 2011 season and the Greg Schiano years, that the 16 game schedule felt like it was 32. It seems like they've played a full season and we're only halfway through this thing.
It really does.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's still an opportunity to turn things around.
If you're looking for a silver lining, we always
have the fourth round draft.
We always have the best draft coverage on
Peter Report.
No question.
So, we'll be in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Probably not in Orlando this year. May not be any Buccaneer
there
Pro
Bowlers.
There
may not be any.
In all honesty, who's a Pro Bowler?
Levante David should be
Levante's,
a Pro Bowl guy.
Levante's actual. And I'm,
if it's
saying,
a 2-14 football team, is Levante David going to the
should.
Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he should.
Yeah. He is a Pro Bowl linebacker this year.
Yes.
No question about it.
Yeah, he is having the best season
He's
of any
great.
Buccaneer this year, week in and week out. And it would only be better if he didn't sprain his ankle.
And
if
the fans want to trade him. So
what?
There are people who want to trade Levante
oh
David.
Oh, my God.
Because they also want to trade Gerald McCoy. Like, they want to blow up the team.
They're playing too much Madden football.
Well, they can't do any of that now because the trade deadline's over with. So we'll have to wait till the offseason for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, for Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook. We'll have another podcast later in the week. Thanks for listening to the Pewter Nation Podcast.